right now in studio with us, as always, guys, and he joins us on a weekly basis during the soccer season, as Darren Eales. He is the Atlanta United president. And, Mike, we get a chance to spend some time with Darren each and every week. We got a big match coming up, guys, this weekend. But the big question is the weather and how concerned should we be with it? Because Mike was mentioning this earlier. Darren, you know, last year was that weird snow game.
Yeah, I mean, it was the strange snow game. It was the coldest ever in the history of MLS, you know, 22 years. And it looks like we might be breaking it again on the weekend because it looks like it could be as low as 14 degrees for the match. And it looks like snow as well. So hopefully we'll play like last year.
Yeah, we explained earlier in the show from our buddy Jason Longshore, and you mentioned this to us in last year, two different ownership groups. The one that got the team has an outdoor facility as opposed to had their like version of Arthur and the Vikings got it. We'd be indoors on Saturday.
Yeah, it would have been a lot nicer, wouldn't it, to have a roof over our heads.
But you're heading up for the game, right?
That's right, yeah. I'm going to go up on the day and try and be in as Minnesota as little as possible. I think just get in and get out and get 3 points.
Now let's talk about Atlanta United 2 and what happened last weekend and how exciting that was for you guys. Because I know the crowd ended up being really good. Again, Jason Longshore joins us as well early in the week, and he was up there calling the game, and he said, listen, it was a nice crowd that showed up. But more importantly, I think you got a chance to see some of the young stars, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great inaugural game for us for Atlanta United too. We had around 6,000 people there, and it was great because it was just the same mini atmosphere. We had a supporter section behind the goal. The whole crowd were joining in. When we scored our second goal, the lad John Gallagher, who's our draft pick that came from Notre Dame, the Irish lad, right, he scored two goals, played really well. But he jumped into the crowd after he scored the penalty, and it was just like a mini version of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So really good for our players because they're playing matches that are meaningful in front of crowds, and also great for our crowds because afterwards all the players stayed and signed autographs for about half an hour. So it's a much more intimate atmosphere, and it's a chance, particularly for youngsters, to go there and see, you know, those players that are coming through our academy. And I think it's a great way to sort of learn about the game because it's a little bit more relaxed atmosphere, and you've got a chance to do that.
And again, guys, Darren Eales with us here as he is every week, the president of Atlanta United. And again, so that's like we said, it's hard to call it a minor league team because it's basically you're bringing guys back and forth. But Carlton, Andrew Carlton, is pretty much with the big club for the time being, right? Or
that's
will
right.
We see him down there, maybe?
Yeah, but no, I mean, I think it's a good example. So let's say we have a game on the Saturday and then Sunday we're playing at Couray. If a player hasn't played minutes in the game on the Saturday, then they'll play Sunday. So there may be an Andrew Carlton, Brandon Vince, you know, Vasquez. It could be any of players coming back from injury that need some minutes. So that's the good thing about it is it gives us it's a technical piece for us first and foremost. This right. is what you need. If you want to be a top club in the medium to long term to be able to develop young players, we need that second team. So, you know, it's just really encouraging to have such a good atmosphere. The stadium's perfect for us for what we need at that USL level. And I think everyone there had a fun time.
Five Stripes travel to Minneapolis this week to take on Minnesota United. Now, Mike and I have some really cool kits, jerseys, that we are waiting to wear. And my guess is maybe LAFC or maybe New York City FC, the next two home matches for us, we're going to get a chance to wear those cool jerseys, courtesy of the Atlanta United. And are we going to get a chance to wear those?
I think you might do, Carl. I mean, firstly, this weekend's an interesting one because we were slated to wear our stripes in Minnesota, but they've changed it because apparently their grey kit gets quite dark when it gets wet. So we're going to be in King Peach, which will be interesting on telly because I'm not sure you're going to be able to see our players because it'll be
white on white.
Snowy pitch. Yeah, so that might help us. We might be able to sort of sneak Miggy in as a stealth sort of scorer just floating around and no one will see him.
Well, we're going to get Parkhurst and Carlton in the tanning bed.
So the guys will have on the King Peach jerseys this weekend.
They will this week. And then we're looking at the home game for LAFC to unveil it for a home game. So that's
all right. If you're going to if you're going to a pub, you're going to Fido or Rira or Taco Mac, wherever you're watching United, if you're lucky enough to have the King Peach kit, that is proper kit for the Saturday night match.
Exactly, yeah. Get it on for this weekend.
That's cool. And for those who hadn't seen it, you can go to the website. For guys that aren't soccer fans, you have traditional teams have like their road game jersey, their home game jersey, and they'll have an alternate jersey. And in some cases, it's very garish, but in our case, very stylish.
Exactly, yeah. No, we liked it. And we took it from the supporters, which was the whole theme behind it. Right. They did a big TIFO last year, the big signs that had the King Peach being eating up the Big Apple when we played New York. So that was what we used to inspire the kit, which is quite nice that, you know, we've tried to do everything with the club around our supporters. So that was just another way we could acknowledge them.
All right, Darren, big question for you here as we talk soccer with Darren Eales. Barco traveling?
No, I think it's probably unlikely. I mean, look, he's just coming back into training and, you know, we know what the weather's going to be like. It's too soon, I think, for him to be seen. And look, the great thing we've got, I mean, it's never great to have an injury, but we're not under pressure to bring him back. It's not as if we're coming into the playoffs. So, you know, we'll be super careful and ultra cautious to make sure that he comes back in good time because it's a long season ahead and it's a long career ahead. We don't want to rush him just for the short term.
Darren Eales is with us, guys. Again, you can follow Darren on Twitter if you want to say hi or tell him how much you love the job he's doing at D-Eales, A-T-L-U-T-D. So check it out. The Joseph Martinez leading the league in scoring. He's tied for the lead with 4 goals. Miggy's tied or leading with the most shots.
Miggy.
And honestly, if 3 of those it should have gone in, he'd be tied for the most goals with Joseph Martinez right
no,
now.
No, it's true. I mean, to be fair, Miggy's missed a few probably easier to score than miss in terms of a couple right. of them. So Miguel plays tonight. We've got a game. America are playing against Paraguay up in North Carolina, so it'll be 7:30 in the Eales household with fingers crossed just watching that, hoping that Darlington and Miggy just get through that without an injury. Right. Well, we hate these international breaks.
I was going to ask you, just you know, from where you sit, how do you view this? I mean, you're not necessarily cheering for one team or another. You just need your guys healthy, right?
Yeah, no, I don't care. Couldn't give a damn about the score as long as they're not hurt.
Again, for those who don't remember how it went down last year, Joseph Martinez goes down representing Venezuela.
That's right, yeah.
And is playing on a pitch when I saw it online, because Craig sent me the link to where I couldn't find it where I watched the match. It's like a cow pasture. So not all surfaces are created equal in the Southern Hemisphere.
No, I mean, different surfaces, lots of travel, so all of those, you know, tend to... And look, I get it. National team managers only have them for a sort of 10 days, so they tend to try and do as much training as they can within that time period. So there's always this clash between club and country, and, right. you know, we just hope that those two guys tonight come back unhurt.
Are you concerned about minutes tonight? I mean, you have no control over that, right?
No, we don't. I mean, I think, look, the managers, it's a friendly game, so you hope they're going to be sensible. This is a, you know, it's an exhibition game. It's not a qualifier for World Cups. So you're hoping that, you know, managers will be sensible and they'll give players rest. But, you know, there's nothing we can do about it, Carl. We're just hoping that they're going to be sensible about it.
Fingers crossed. Darren Eales is with us here talking United. Were you sandbagging last week when we had you as soon as you know it was going to be Juventus?
Yeah, I did.
All right, so there you go.
It's a fair cop.
All right, you cheeky blank. Anyway.
Well, it was funny because they played Spurs. I mean, I can now tell the story. So it was after I'd done a show here. I went to watch the second half. Spurs are winning 1-0. Right. Looks like they're going to coast through. So obviously with my former club hat on, I'm quite pleased for Spurs. It's, you know, they played the best in the game and deserve to win it. But then Juventus scored 2 late goals, which was great for us hosting them in the All-Star game. So I was really conflicted because I was secretly quite pleased that Juventus went through.
And for those, again, not familiar, because we know we have a lot of guys out here from noon going, what? Who's a Juventus? That's a legendary side from the Serie A, from the Italian league, which has all the history in the world. And they play in the Champions League against your former team, Tottenham.
That's right.
Which is one of the coolest.
Yeah.
I wish there's really nothing, Carl, to compare Champions League to other than, like I said, if the Tokyo Giants were playing the Houston Astros.
Right.
But, I mean, it is kind of neat how the greatest teams, the top four in each division, or each, I should say each league, play each other every year.
Yeah, and in a cup competition, and it's sort of the best of the best, and you get a lot of history. And, you know, Juventus, we're very fortunate. They're a... You know, they're by far and away the biggest club in Italy. They play in stripes, so it's quite iconic. So it's nice that they're coming to Atlanta, you know, to a team that plays in stripes. They've got a very, it's an interesting team because they've got a strong back sort of lineup that's very defensive. Buffon, the goalkeeper, seems like he's been playing forever. He's over 40. Cellini. So they've got these legendary sort of Italian defenders. And I think it'd be a great matchup because you're going to have that young talent from the All-Star team for Major League Soccer. And, you know, we could actually have Ibrahimovic now as well coming because he's obviously signed for LA Galaxy. Yeah. So I think it'll be an interesting clash between those younger sort of Joseph Martinez, Miggy Almiron, those type of players against that older Italian defence. And the other good thing for us is Italy didn't qualify for the World Cup. So all of those Italian players are available.
They'll be fresh.
Exactly.
Sold out? Is the game sold out?
It went on public sale today. So it's already done a big pre-sale. So it's definitely going to sell out. Mm. Which is, again, great testament to Atlanta and the city.
It's Wednesday night, August 1st, I want
That's
to
right,
say.
Yeah, okay. 1st of August.
Okay, so Juventus versus MLS All-Stars, and Tata is the coach?
That's right, yeah, so he gets to pick the team.
That's perfect. Now, Darren Eales joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Weekly, guys, and if you missed the interview, for whatever reason, go online at 929thegame.com. Moving forward, though, we were having this conversation with Mike Conte. These matches are going to be with teams out of Mexico, is that right, moving forward with the All-Star game?
Yeah, that's right. After, they're going to try and do a competition between Liga MX and Major League Soccer, which is a very exciting sort of proposal because, look, there's a load of interest in terms of those matchups. Mm-hmm. So the plan will be this year they'll have the Campeones, which will be the champions of Mexico against this year Toronto. Hopefully in the future that'll be something that Atlanta United will be taking part in. But right. then they're going to look at having a way of having four teams from each league play each other in a competition, which is pretty exciting because, again, it just, particularly for Major League Soccer and trying to drive TV ratings, trying to drive the standard, we need to be able to compete against those Mexican clubs. So this is a good way for us to sort of work on that and hopefully get stronger and better.
Pretty cool, guys. And, again, so we could see, like, Tigres or was it Craig Toluca?
Oh, you get Chivas. Chivas. Chivas would be crazy.
Well, I'm looking
here
at the standings right now of Liga MX. Thank God for the internet, Carl. But anyway, these are some of the teams we'd be playing. By the way, speaking of international soccer, the bid for the U.S. to get the World Cup, again, Mexico, Canada, U.S. all trying to come together for North America. With things that are happening here, we'd have a pretty good shot to have the championship game or obviously some meaningful games at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, look, I mean, they actually released a bid book and they have us hosting a semifinal, which is just fantastic. You know, to have a semifinal of the World Cup here in 2026 would be something incredible. And we're actually getting ready. So FIFA are coming to do a site visit in a couple of weeks. So we're sort of dusting everything down and getting ready to show them as they come around as part of their sort of technical bid. So that's where FIFA will come and look at some of the cities in the North America bid. They'll go to Morocco and do the same. And then that sort of helps them to put the technical side of it. So they'll say, okay, we're not going to tell people who to vote for, but we'll say this is where both bids line up in terms of, you know, what facilities they've got, what's the stadium's like, training ground. So we'll be looking at the stadium as well as our training ground, which is great for us because we can showcase
brand new,
you know, what we've got there in Marietta, which will blow them away.
Yeah, everything is on point. Real quick, when you're talking about, you know, them coming into town, this is a wine and dine? What is it? Is it? Do they even, you know, how do you handle that? Are you showing them around, or is it a situation where they come in, we'll be doing this checklist, thank you very much?
Well, we have to be careful, obviously, with the history of FIFA.
So you can't put $200 in a hot dog?
No, I think any gifts have to be under $100. So we can give them a scarf but not a King Pete shirt. That will tip us over.
For those that are not familiar, FIFA does have, I'm going to keep Darren out of this conversation, has a history with a lot of shenanigans in the bid process, Carl, for the World Cup.
That's why I asked. Darren Eales, thank you so much, as always, for stopping by.
Cheers, all guys. Right? Thanks
hey,
a lot.
Hey, guys, and we learned a couple of things today. King Pete jerseys, kits this weekend, right, against Minnesota, and then they're going to unveil them for the couple of for at least one of the home matches against LAFC and New York City FC. So we'll get a chance to have them at our place in Mercedes-Benz.